Welcome to Reality NSFW coverage of Survivor South Africa Season 9, Return of the Outcasts. We are discussing episodes 9, 10, 11, and 12 right now. So if you are new to this and you don't want to be spoiled on other stuff, go back. Not only do we have episodes 1 through 4 podcast, 5 through 8 podcast, we also have a cast assessment podcast. Boom, it's all there at youtube.com/realitynsfw or search reality space NSFW wherever you listen to a podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. It's everywhere that you would like to check out a podcast. Also, if you're like, hey, Johnny Fairplay, I would like to see the episodes first. That makes sense. I have links to all the episodes at adfreensfw.com. Go to adfreensfw.com. Whatever tier you join, all the links are there. So with that, I may have let the cat out of the bag. I'm Johnny Fairplay, but I'm not alone. I'm joined by Karen Coleman and Tristan Nienaber.
There you go.
Welcome.
Come on over.
Woo! Walking with my pitchfork.
Yes. All right. So we're starting with episode 9, which is the fallout from what could have been one of the most epic tribal councils of all time. But instead, It was a dud.
And thanks, Phil. Only,
we only have one person to blame. It's Phil.
To this day, I still don't even know what happened.
I feel like I do. So he explained it. He half-heartedly explained it. but I feel that everything he said came from a good place, and I don't feel in which there was bamboozling going on. Phil just straight out says, I got spooked.
And, I was gonna say paranoia.
And he claims that he thought the Iggy to do everything was how do you pronounce Shona.
Yeah,
was Shona making the move to get the idol, which I'm under the same impression.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you guys think, because Dante whispered cheers and that looked like that spooked Phil?
I think everything spooked. I like for Phil to feel 100% confident, the move for the fake idol needed to happen. He was just like, okay, step one, step two, we're all good.
So, yeah, but I mean, the plan was there.
But I will say this, as great as that moment would have been, and it would have been insane, like the fake, all that would have been so good. That would have been one little moment. I don't like Dante, but I like Dante there because I don't like him.
Yeah, it's weird. Like you like him because of the game he's playing, but it's like you just don't like him.
Yeah.
So and I could see while Shona was busy speaking the whole time, I can see she was eyeballing that idol by the fire.
Move.
Her eyes kept going there.
Yeah. Just move.
I thought it was gonna happen.
So as I said, I think that moment would have been one of the most incredible moments in the history of Survivor and you know, one of the more memorable tribal councils of all time. But I think if I have a choice of who's going to give me better TV for like the next, you know, 8 episodes, it's Dante over Shona. Sorry.
I don't know if I agree with that, but
that's great. We can agree to disagree. So the fact that I hate Dante. So, I mean, like Dante, if you're watching, I don't like you at all. Like there's no way you have a good podcast based on your Survivor performance. So, but like, him being like, I'm actively rooting against someone and, you know, I hate cancel culture and I hate, it's just like, oh my God, I don't like that person. So that person needs to lose their job, even though, you know, I don't really know anything about them and they're not really saying anything that's insensitive to where they should be canceled. It's just, I don't like them. And so Memphis on Big Brother, he designs five-star restaurants at high-end hotels. And so people decided that, I mean, And, you know, watching the show, she's like, wow, like, this is my good friend Memphis, and he's really coming off as an asshole, but I know him in real life, and he's not an asshole. Well, people saw that, and they're just like, okay, so let's go on Yelp, and every name that every restaurant that's associated with his name, let's leave negative reviews so that he can't get a job after this. Go fuck yourself.
Reality fans need to calm down. Like, I mean, I can say, like, I hate this person or whatever, or watch it, hate them, but I also realize that they're a real person with a real life, and probably not that one little glimpse of them isn't everything.
Well,
and
even if, like, they are that one little glimpse, I don't care. Like they're on a TV. I mean, like, the fact that you hate that person more than likely makes you love their enemy on the show that much more. You should thank them.
Yeah. I guess having the Dante Dino aspect is rivalry
makes great television.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Dino walks on eggshells, and is and he had his shot to fire, and you know, it was like, you know, a dud firecracker. Like, it didn't go up, and I'm just like, oh no. And so he's like, ooh. But that's good TV.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, see here, someone in the comments said here, it's been confirmed. So Dino told Phil Shona playing was the signal. But before Tribal, Dino told Shona not to go for the fake idol because they had the numbers anyway, but he didn't update Phil.
Ooh.
Oh.
So
that's an oversight.
So Dino screwed this up big time.
Yep.
That's what I was wondering last time. I was like, there had to be some lapse of communication, or that was my thought, at least.
Well, as good as you guys say the edit for Survivor South Africa is, the fact they didn't give us this information is not a perfect edit. am I watching Australian Survivor? Oh. So, yeah. Okay. All right, well, that's useful. Thank you, Oded, for that. Thanks, Oded. Oded, one of those. All right, so Dante's still here.
Yeah. He's still there, and he's still trying to get Dino out.
Yes. Tejan tells Tony about the idol, and I'm like, okay. And it's time for immunity and reward, and Yantel can't lose, or Dino is seventh out for a second time. And I'm like, oh, I don't need this. I'm like, let's go, Yantel. So they are playing for immunity, and Killarney drops reward to the ground because she's so excited about the reward. And why wouldn't she be?
Fresh stop reward?
It is a fresh stop shop reward, not a stupid lotto star.
She should have fainted when they announced the reward. That would have been more dramatic.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. So I someone mentioned that to her too. So maybe Steffi, because Steffi likes to mention lots of things, but doesn't like when anyone else mentions other things. Ooh, shots fired, Steffi. So I am having difficulty liking this full package alliance.
It was working in the beginning for me, but I feel like since they've kind of, when they had their tribe shuffles, the full package kind of just died down, and then we stopped thinking of it.
Who was in the full package again?
Meryl, Steffi, Marion.
Marion, yeah.
Okay.
I loved, because I thought the members were so lovable collectively, and since they split, I'm just like, oh my, like, I am starting to dislike all of you. So, sorry, Marion. I still love you.
I think that'll come back into play later, though, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got the full circle, or the full package hug at the end of episode 12. So hopefully that what brought us to the dance is reignited, and it's just like, oh, they're good people again. But I feel like Steffi has her own agenda. So, and I feel like Tony brought that out in her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Steffi's playing both sides yet, because, you know, she's saying yes, Tony, but she's also saying no, Tony. So.
Yeah, so we'll see. So, yes, this is the Blind Maze Challenge. I typically like this challenge when people impale themselves somehow. We didn't get a ton of that, but we did get, for me, the funniest moment of this season, and that's Dino giving the wrong directions to the Masu blindfolded tribe. and they couldn't hear over because he's right there. And then Tony finally just like, that's Dino's voice. And to have the Yantau tribe chanting and doing everything else so they couldn't hear Teriso. I'm just like, this is amazing strategy. Masu disagreed vehemently that this is great strategy, but it was.
Tony looked very irritated. She was the whole time she was busy walking, she was saying how unfair it was. Yeah. And when she was walking towards Dino, and Dino was busy going, walk straight, walk straight, walk straight, and obviously moving aside. And then Tony's busy like finding a way, and she's like, oh, F off, Dino. She knew that Dino was there making the puzzle. So I think from there, she knew that, like, you know, they.
Yeah, she pieced it together, but it was too little, too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was also a point where Dino tells Teriso that if they lose, that he's going home. And like, from what I know about Teriso, I'm like, does she care? Like that much? Or I mean,
I would have guessed no, but based on her vote later, maybe I think there is some semblance of a heart there.
That was sweet, but I also yeah.
So no, I think she did care. So because like is when we'll get to it. I get there and just like, do I love Teriso? I mean, like this like it's just like there's a split. Well, I can stay if I just write down my best friend's name, and I'm just like, oh, write down your best friend's name. But I like Felix too. I don't want him to go anywhere. It's tough.
Yeah. I think we're going to have lots of tough times coming up.
Oh, no. Tejan and Killarney can go right now, and I'm just gonna... And then bring them back and vote them out again.
That means they're going to be, like, final two.
Yeah. Oh, please don't. This season sucks if they're final two.
Oh, gosh.
This season's not great if either one of them are in the final two.
I like Tejan.
Great.
I would say I also kind of like him as well. He's got a mind of his own, and when it comes to votes, he knows where not to vote out. Where I feel like Phil and Dino kind of just don't listen to that, and then just goes south. And Tejan can basically see the numbers deteriorating, and he's basically just sitting there like, oh my gosh, like there's an actual meme of this guy that's got his hand on his hips, and he looks so peed off. And I can just now.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That's Sajan, basically, the whole time.
Once again, do not get near my final two. All right. So it's Yantau wins. Thank goodness. They get to go to the Fresh Stop shop. And we know how this works, everybody. It's one at a time. But one of the other rules is don't take any items from the stand. And I'm just like, okay, well then if there's a hidden immunity idol, you can't take it, right?
You would think.
Maybe.
It literally said, do not take any items from the stand. Mm-hmm. So, and I know they meant food.
Yeah. Was Meryl the first one in?
Meryl's first one in and sees the cake with the symbols, and I'm just like, okay,
that was too easy.
It was like right there in your face. Like I would have gone for that cake as well. I saw the symbols and I was like, there's definitely something in that cake.
Yeah. And this was like for those of you that have seen this, we haven't done this on American Survivor, have we?
I don't think so, but it's been in Australian Survivor.
Yes, Australian Survivor is one of the greatest moments in the history of the show with the Golden God. watching, like, there's a video from home with his children. So it's not like this guy's single, doesn't care. No, there's a video with his children, and he's like, yeah, I don't care. Eating popcorn and finding
just
this,
like,
idol.
Digging through stuff.
Because that's all I care about. Not the video of my children.
And what did you guys... So if you were to run in first, other than the cake, where would you think that the idol would be?
I don't believe in previous... Like when Australian Survivor does it, I don't believe that they were under a time limit. I think it's one of those where you eat your fill and you're not an asshole about it. And if you are an asshole about it, that works against you. So that 3 minute time limit really put the rush on everyone, I feel like. And with 3 minutes, I feel like you've got to search the obvious, because like we've seen on Australian Survivor, like, you know, it like underneath, you know, like a wood compartment, you know, like it's, I don't feel it's somewhere you can find in 3 minutes. Yeah. And so I don't think they would place it somewhere that you couldn't find it in 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's also true. I thought maybe they would make it a little bit difficult and maybe put it in some sort of packaging so that you'd have to open. Because I saw there's, so in South Africa, we've got something called biltong, which is basically like beef jerky in packets. I thought maybe if they were clever enough, they would have, I saw that there were a couple of packets in that box that was next to the cake. So I thought maybe they would have put something in that package in the biltong, or put it into something like completely ridiculously bland, like maybe all bran flakes or something. No one's going to go for that. So
I would have preferred a clue to the advantage on the base of the cake. And so that, you wouldn't be taking anything from the shop because you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
So you have to take the information, but you're not taking the advantage, and you're doing everything possible to hide that plate that the cake's on, you know, whether it be turn it upside down. And so, because like that was cool on, you know, champs versus, champions versus contenders, when it was at the bottom of the nachos and, I can't remember who found, I think Benji puts the napkin over top of the clue and puts the nachos back on top. So, but I also find this odd, like I felt that COVID would spell the end of any of this stuff. You know, people eating after each other and all that. I was like, are we ever going to see something like this again? And Survivor South Africa is like, yeah, we are.
What was COVID? I don't know. People were wearing masks. Now we're not wearing them anymore. So, I mean, might as well just eat the same cake that everyone else is eating.
Well, according to Southwest Air, COVID's over. Because I had one of the first flights after the mask restriction was lifted. And they literally said on the flight from Nashville to Raleigh, hey, everybody, COVID's over. Woo! And I was like, all right.
My gosh.
I think you're responsible there.
Yeah, I think it's funny on reality shows now, like on Big Brother, where like Julie Chen is like, oh, you know, you need to keep your distance so we can be safe. And I'm like, are we living in the same country? Like, I mean, I know I'm just visiting, but this is not taken seriously like at all. In Chile, there's still like mask mandates everywhere and like still a bunch of rules, but it's like nothing at all is happening here. So I'm like, what's with the show on TV? Like nobody's
summer of 2022 in the US is a NASCAR race at this point.
It's so fake. Like
we're sharing sodas. What's up? So, all right. Let's see. Meryl gets the tribal council pass. How long does she have to play that? Did she have to play that before the murder? I think that one goes
final
to final six.
Final six.
Yeah. Okay, so, so that was the right move on Meryl's part not to play it on episode 12.
Yep.
I would have played it.
Yeah, no, I would have. You're right.
Yeah.
So.
See, Arjun is saying here, Felix is so much more likable this season. I think the season has made everyone except Pinty look better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we just got more of what we thought Pinty was.
Yeah.
This season.
Oh, but she got to play hard and hurt people, which was her goal, and seemed very proud of herself.
And Felix really is more likable this season. I feel like in Islands of Secrets, he was in his head. He was seen as a douchebag because he was in his head the whole time. And now this season is a completely different person. It's the same as Steffi. I feel like those people actually came into this game either playing their authentic selves, or they managed to pull off a really good character that made them such a different character to who they were or what they wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like everyone that came into this has gotten what they needed to so far. Like I feel like Pinty made it far. Like she's like, yeah, I got to hurt someone. I'm good. You know, Seamus made it past the first vote. He's good. I don't, even though I don't care. Dino's made the merge. He's good. Marion's overcome life. She's good. Shane, I guess he's less of an asshole, or maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's like learned anything or not. He was humbled very early, so I think that helped him, but I think he's starting to go back.
Oh, but he's assured us that we'll get to Shane. He has the most pull of anyone in this game.
So we're back where we started with him.
Because he continues to explain this to everyone, and I was just like, "Wow!" I'm like, "You must be watching through Pinty's lenses."
I feel like Shane. I feel like Shane is getting a bit of a purple edit this season because you don't really get to see where he's going with votes or what his strategic plan is. And also, Marion and Shane were close on their season. And I know that Marion's busy with the full package, but where is she falling with Shane? And they haven't really said that this season. So I'm hoping to see that somewhere in merge.
Well, I think he's getting the purple edit because he really thinks, because I think everything he says doesn't make sense to the story. Like, he's walking up to Dino and Phil separately going, hey, just a heads up, I'm your only chance. Because I'm running the entire, I'm controlling both tribes. I'm running the show. I may take one of you as a goat to the end. And they're just like, all right, we can't use any of this shit.
That may actually be like working in his favor though, because like nobody's taking him seriously.
No
one. So they're not worried about him.
Yeah. So I think we got enough of that, to tell that they're like, oh, okay, that's why they're not showing him. And I don't think there's anything else to show.
Yet.
Yeah. True. Yet. So, Palisa, I have trouble.
Palisa, yeah.
Palisa. She is playing the double agent. Going into the end of episode 12, I was like, this might be the most dangerous person here, and I am for it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So, and from what I've gathered, this is a huge difference in first time playing and this time playing.
So, yeah, I feel like with that whole vote with Shona, because she even said to Dino when Dino was busy speaking to her, if you can show me where the votes are going. And if the votes go that way, that will prove that I can be loyal to you guys. Complete opposite story, Tribal Council. Does Palesa do I want to work with these clowns? They don't know where they're voting.
I'm gonna give you guys one chance. Do not screw this up.
Screws
okay,
up.
So we screwed it up, okay? What are you thinking? And she's like, I'm thinking you screwed it up. I'm gonna give you one chance. So but what this is why I think she's so dangerous. She walked away unscathed, no blood on her hands.
And the way she did you see her face in Tribal when they announced like who was leaving and when someone's name came up and then she was like, she turned around, she was like, what?
I love it. So next we see Steffi talking down to Pinty, and Pinty is blindsided by asking questions.
I think Pinty was right to start gunning for Steffi though, but that's what happens when you have like absolutely no social capital and people don't like you, is they're not going to listen to you. But she was absolutely right. Steffi's dangerous.
Yes, very much so. So episode 10, it's night 15, and Felix and Thriso are on the outs. Tejan finds the other switching idol, and it's here where we learn that Shane thinks he has the most pull. He doesn't. And it's time for the big ball challenge for immunity and Survivor pizza and beer and soda. Wow. Survivor pizza looks equally as bad in South Africa as it does in Fiji and Australia.
Yep.
I've heard Survivor Pizza is terrible.
Yeah, I heard it's cold because they basically show you the hot pizza, like, there we go, and then they need to kind of like shoot it 5 million times. Then they still need to do the challenge. Yeah. Then only after the challenge, the pizza's now ice cold.
Yeah. I was trying to think. I had pizza. Oh, I won the I didn't win. Burton won the deep sea fishing pearl diving trip. And what's that?
It's a pizza box. I had pizza.
Oh, okay. So Burton won the deep sea fishing and pearl diving reward, but they did not mention the pearl diving because U.S. Survivor made a deal with Panama and the guy that owns the islands that we would not take anything from the island. So I did. So Burton wins and Burton and Lil win and Burton gives the reward to me to go with Lil. And so it's deep sea fishing and they do that for you. And then there's beer and pizza. And the pizza, it wasn't the worst. Because it was outsourced. It wasn't, you know, I think it was done through the deep sea fishing company. So they outsourced that. That wasn't bad. And my waiter, his name was Dalton, which at one time used to be my last name. He kept bringing me beer, so that was fun. And then they made us go deep sea fishing, or they made us go pearl diving. And I'm just like, I'm hammered. I can't. And they're like, we need the footage. And I'm like, I can't do it. And they're like, you have to. So I get in the water with my snorkel, projectile vomit out of my snorkel.
Why did they not include that?
and basically I go diving for oysters and they basically like put one in my hand underwater and it has a pearl in it. But they never show any of that because I left with it. So I gave it to my mom.
Gave it to your mom. Yep. How was she when you gave it to her? What did you say?
Thanks. Thanks. I don't know. She didn't care. So,
it's for you.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a pearl. I don't need it. So, but for the record, I am known to give out pearl necklaces. Thank you.
Can I have one?
Karen gets it. She's wearing lipstick for a reason. I think Tristan just got it too. I'll be here all week. So Yantau wins again. There is no camaraderie with the new Masu tribe.
No.
No.
Not working.
No. Dino gets caught getting the idol from Tony. And because Tony gave Tejan's idol to Tony to give to Dino. So I thought that Tony and Dante were a lot closer than Tony and Dino. So I'm guessing the Tony Dino thing is an outside of the game deal.
So Dino like won the same game that I won that Tony hosts.
Okay.
Like an online game.
Yeah.
So that's my understanding is that's their connection.
Okay.
100% Karen.
Okay.
But Dante, didn't it feel like Dante and Tony were close on the original Masu?
Original Masu, Tony and Dante were closer with each other because Dante likes these underdogs and he likes picking people up from the bottom. And obviously Tony was at the bottom of that barrel.
Yeah.
He wanted to keep her close. And I think just from there, things just got out of hand and it just wasn't, you can still see it like at the very last tribal that, I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit.
Episode 12.
You could see Dante and Tony had that, you know, they still speak to each other. They don't hate each other, but
she goes, I promise I'm not getting rid of you this one. I am getting rid of you. It's just not this one.
Not yet.
Yeah. And then we saw a moment with Dante and Dino. I'm just like, I am for this. Like I can go against my better judgment and not hate Dante if he's working with Dino.
Yep.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I was like, as long as that alliance is like set on getting rid of Dino, I can't support them.
Yeah.
So and we'll I will actively root against them.
Yeah, so Dino got caught getting the idol from Tony. Shane throws the olive branch to Dino and explains to him that he has the most pull, which he still does not. And if Dino is confused about how much pull that Shane has, he has an alliance with Tejan and what's their name?
And what's her name?
Yep. That's what he said.
I think there's, I don't know if you guys
Steffi was the name in question. But he didn't remember it. And how convincing is that if your Dino's just like, he goes, oh, no, you don't understand, Dino. Like, I am so tight. I mean, like of everyone in the game, I am tighter with Tejan and what's her name?
What's her name?
Anyone. Like, we are in God, what is their name? Yeah, that red flag, Dino. Shane may not be that tight with what's their name. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna work. And it's a returnee season. How do you not know their name?
And it's not like Dino's known for being stupid. Like,
yeah, no. And Shane's the smart one. Like, I could understand Tejan not knowing who he has an alliance with. He'd be like, I really haven't watched since my season. But they all seem very nice and trustworthy.
Seem.
Let's see. Tejan doesn't want a loyal goat. That's what Killarney is. But Killarney explains, hey guys, no, I'm not a goat. I have low key strategy.
I think that's a strategy.
Okay.
Like to just like not do much pre-merge.
Well, I think that's also a loyal goat.
Well, it just depends what she does after the merge.
Killarney does after the merge.
I don't know. I think we'll see, because in her season, she was very like forceful telling people what to do, like where the votes were going to go and trying to like control everything. And so she obviously learned her lesson, but I'm interested to see if she just continues to not do much or if she is actually going to start playing.
We'll see.
I still feel the same about Killarney. Like, so from her season, I didn't know much of her, and that's exactly what's happening again this season. I don't know what's happening with her other than her almost fainting and not knowing where the votes are going or who to put down on a piece of parchment. I feel like the delusion is a little bit there, you know? So I feel like going into merge, I just hope, I don't know if it is the edits that is just making her that way, but I just feel like she doesn't know where the votes are going. I don't feel like she's got a grip on who's aligned with who. And I feel like maybe that could be a bad thing going into merge, because she could say something that could potentially blow up someone's game.
I'm for that.
At this point, she has no power. So, like, even if she does want to start playing, there's already this perception of her as a non-player player. So even if she does start to, like, rise up and try to do stuff, I don't know that she'll have any sort of social capital to make anything happen.
Whoa.
But we'll see.
This is shocking to see. Arjun writes, I think Tejan is playing low-key early and will pop post-merge because he has played in quite a few ORGs and was quite cutthroat in his original season. Okay, let's see.
He also played in the same games that like Dino and I and Tristan were in that Tony hosted. So he does have that connection with Tony as well.
But he gives – the edit is he's so out of the loop.
I don't think he is, though.
Yeah. I know, but the edit is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, he obviously isn't if he's playing online games with Tony and Tino and you guys.
Like, I didn't know Tejan had ever played in any season of Survivor, but when I saw his picture for this season, I was like, wait, I've seen that guy before, because you don't miss that face on that org page, you know?
He's so active there.
Yeah.
That is so crazy. All right. Well, I
also realized this is funny. I was checking my friend requests because I get a lot of friend requests from playing the orgs. And I saw one from Tejan from 37 weeks ago. And I was like, wait, what? I accepted the other day.
Wasn't 37 weeks ago when we were playing our online game?
That must, yeah.
It's around that time.
He was following it. So he knows who I am.
I think he was just slipping your DM for nudes, but well, we'll see.
Guess we'll find out. Haven't received any requests yet.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, Tajan, forward those nudes right here. you want to make an alliance? I need this. Karen, this conversation has nothing to do with you. All right. Tajan tells Thriso and Felix about the split vote. And she sees this as an opportunity to vote out her best friend, Felix. And Thriso does not vote out her best friend and goes home. Are you kidding me?
I was a little surprised by this. I thought she was more cutthroat. But like she said, I guess she does have a heart.
Yeah. I thought this was a pretty cool moment. I mean, like, I'm shocked, but like, I feel like it, you know, I think it says a little something good about humanity, right?
I mean, all she needed to do was put his name down, he would have gone.
Yeah. Would you guys have put his name down?
It's hard to say. Probably, because.
Because I don't see it going any other way.
Playing for 2 million more, I'd do it.
Yeah. I think I put down Felix's name. I mean.
Yeah.
You're only at this point, they're what, 17 days in? You can make a new best friend.
Yep.
Yeah. I like to think that I'm more of a gamer than an emotional player, but at the end of the day, I do still make emotional decisions. Like, I really wanted to vote out Tristan in our game, but I never tried that hard. Because I was like, oh, you just gave me an idol. I can't like rally the troops to try to get rid of you right after that. Like,
I gotta wait 3 days.
that was my strategy.
Yes. So with that, we are up to episode 11. But first, we're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. And it's amazing as a midnight snack right before bed.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories per serving.
It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, and low carb. And build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my favorite, maple waffle. Now, Magic Spoon recently brought back their 2 super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. Thank goodness. But they're back permanently. And when these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. Now, I'm here to let you know you can get them again or try them for the first time. Why? Because they're delicious and indulgent.
Johnny, Magic Spoon has so many great flavors that I really enjoy, and even my kids enjoy them. We have the cocoa, fruity frosted, peanut butter. All these are really great combinations. They enjoy waking up in the morning and getting some Magic Spoon right off to start their day great before they head off to school. I think everybody listening should give Magic Spoon a try, or if you've tried them already, it's time to reorder. Let's get you some more Magic Spoon and get your day started right.
Hey, when I finish a podcast late at night, the first thing I'm thinking is not sleep. It's let me grab a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon before I go to bed.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code survivor at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use the code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this podcast.
Thanks for sticking with us through the ad break. Don't forget, for more exclusive Reality NSFW content, visit adfreensfw.com.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry, Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Thanks, Blue Chew. After I get those picks, I need to go. All right, episode 11, day 18. Tayshian is a coward. Felix ain't here for it.
I love that. I just want to punch him in the throat.
Yes, Tayshian, do not be a coward when you ask for those picks. That blue chew. That blue chew has already been chewed. I'm ready. minutes, Karen. All right. It's here where we learn that Dante talks at people, not to them or with them. And
I think we already knew that, though.
Yeah, I think so. This is just confirmation for those of you not paying attention. He hasn't really got much airtime. So it was like, hey, in case you're wondering why he hasn't got a lot of airtime, it's because he's just talking at people and nothing's changed. So
they're like, come to confessionals. And he's like, no, I want to speak down to people.
Yeah.
That'll be my confessionals.
That will be my confessional.
This is like a common mistake I see people continue to make. And we see Tony doing it a lot in the next episode as well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. We'll get there.
So yeah.
Yeah. So if Masu loses, Marion's gonna give diplomatic immunity to Steffi in her water bottle to join her. But not so fast, Marion. Survivor SA has twists galore. And the challenge for immunity is to stand on a perch with a ball above your head. It starts with just on top of your head, but it cannot be below your hairline. Meryl's did drop below her hairline, but they let it go. I feel like they're a little loosey-goosey with the rules.
Yeah, it wasn't too... I think this challenge was designed for conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm okay. I'm okay with loose enforcement because I don't feel like it really affected the out. Like I feel like what happened was gonna happen. So, but yeah. I was just like, the same thing in U.S. Survivor. You're looking at a $1 million lawsuit because it's just like it's obvious that you know. But I'm like, okay, well. Tori had her eye upside down. If you really want to get it.
That's why I think in challenges like that, if you want strict enforcement, you need something like where if you go too far, something falls.
Something drops. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I feel like they're using Australian Survivor's budget of $8 for a challenge. And as a result, or actually, sorry, $5 for the challenge, $8 for the reward. Fish and chips, everyone. Fish and chips. Get ready. So, yes. But Mirian, do not give your diplomatic immunity away quite yet, because both tribes will be attending tribal, and both tribes can vote on the losing tribe's people. And the last two people from each tribe are can go to Outpost. So is Outpost a recurring thing in South African Survivor?
No, Outpost was new. They have had Islands of Secrets in Season 7, where they actually go to an island. Sometimes it was one person, sometimes it was two.
Yeah.
Immunity Island was obviously an island where you'd go to get a chance for immunity. It was either a game that you would play. If you lose, obviously you lose your vote at the next tribal council. If you win, you win an immunity idol or something.
I love it.
Okay. This is the first time that there's just been a post that you kind of get sent to where it's, I don't think it's on a separate island, but it kind of just meshes in with every other kind of season of Survivor South Africa. So it's similar.
Okay. Well, I like it. I love the concept. So, we see Dante to Shane. So Dante and Shane are the first two out of the challenge. And so Dante says to Shane, if we lose, who are you going after? And Shane goes, Dante.
Dante.
I mean, Dino, five more times.
I thought that was a nice slip.
I love that.
Oh, I thought Dante was being a little sloppy in this challenge, like when he's on the bench, because he yells out Breakfast Five is alive or something. Yeah. It's like, why are you telling everyone about your alliance? Like,
yeah. Well,
people are already
the full package is not telling Dante full package.
So, yeah.
And if they did, they're not referring to what he's hiding in a Speedo. coming from a Speedo champion. Get yours at Noodle Bags with a Z on Instagram. And yeah, take a blue chew so you fill them out. All right. I mean, no one wants to see you in a noodle bag without it, with, you know, if you shouldn't. Well,
probably.
Oh, speaking of blue chew. Hey, I took a, you'll get it. All right. So Masu wins 2 minutes and 10 2 hours and 10 minutes. But yes, if this had been U.S. Survivor, it would have been two minutes and 10 seconds. But yes, 2 hours, 10 minutes. And it was a lot of talking, a lot of give it up, Dino, a lot of give it up, Phil. And Phil and Dino, they expressed why they needed to do what they did. And they were correct in what they were relaying. And Tony and Steffi said, we got you. And they did.
Yeah. They did. I wasn't believing Steffi, though. Like, if you looked at her face.
I know.
I was she's not with them. not with them.
And he's like, Steffi, are you sure? And Steffi would answer with, mm-hmm. And not, yes, I got you.
Yeah, no. So, and like when it came to who would win for the Masu tribe, I thought it was a pretty easy. Or, you know, like it's just like, look, Steffi, you've been, Tajan's been, Tony hasn't been. It's just fair. I mean, like, you know, like we're not like it doesn't. And Steffi is just like, I could have gone another hour. No problem. It's just like, that's not you. You it's didn't like disprove that. No one was just like, oh, man, kind of weak that Steffi only went 2 hours and 10 minutes.
And I feel like the way they kind of threw out their balls was a bit obvious. Like, I think they should have at least kind of did one by one, because they could see that they were speaking about it. Because it on camera, it looks like it's quite close, you know, where they're standing on those perches versus where they're sitting. It looks like they're sitting next to each other, but it's actually quite a distance away.
Yeah.
From
them. Oh, yeah. There's so, I mean, what difference does it make if what happened, if it, how it goes down? I really don't think it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Because the aftermath of the deal they made is obvious.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true.
So, but I'm all for theatrics personally. But I love the fact that
I'm dying.
Yes, but I love. I would have done comparable to Dino. I would have been like, I can't believe I dropped it. Oh, let me very neatly take off my shirt and hold it above the water, and then I'm falling in, but keeping my shirt dry. Dino, I do applaud you for keeping your shirt dry and being just obnoxious about it for the viewer. So, hey, we have learned that it's not that warm there. So why do you want to walk around for an hour with a wet shirt?
And it's cold. The wind is freezing.
Yeah. Wet shirt, wind. I mean, I would like to see Karen in that, but not me.
Are you saying your noodle bag wouldn't look good in the cold?
No.
Weather?
Oh my God, my noodle bag would be the worst. White shirt, Karen. White shirt. Pay attention. All right. So it's Tony and Phil to Outpost. Marion goes, not so fast, Nico / fake Jeff. I got some stuff to play. And she's like, I'm going to the Masu tribe. No one is happy about this. Steffi, her best friend, other than the Meryl, pissed. Everyone else, not, what is she doing here? Why is she here? I'm just like, she's guaranteed. She had to play it before the merge. We're pretty positive the merge is coming. Why put yourself on as a potential person going? I mean, this could have been Marion right here for no reason.
I was going to say, I think she could have gone home here.
Could have.
Yeah.
She put herself in hot water.
Yeah. So if I'm Marion, like I don't want to, because they're just, the Mossy tribe's just like, why is she here? I don't get, they're just like, I think Marion should have been like, hey, I just didn't want to go home. Like, I'm not here to screw up anything you guys have going. You got, you know, because they're like, oh, she's trying to get information early. She's trying to, you know, like Stephanie's second guessing, you know, she's trying to confirming that what I'm saying is true and isn't, you know, and I'm just like, no, she just doesn't want to go home. But Marion really should have sold that.
Yeah.
I think she was trying to sell off the full package alliance there when she was like, I'm going over and I'm going to be the one that's got the numbers, and now kind of we've got the Breakfast Club / full package, full hidden force, and we're getting rid of the other tribe.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, it's strange. So Steffi sees that Marion's main objective is the Breakfast Club's agenda, and that's not the best for Steffi. Meryl sees Dante as volatile at this point. He is. But wants to take the shot at Plessa first. And Plessa sees Tony's numbers growing, and Plessa's smart. She goes, follow the numbers. I don't have to be friends with any of these people. she's correct. So maybe a couple friendships might have worked out on the vote on the next episode, but so
yeah.
And so it's time for the Outpost twist. If you guess the person voted out, you get a split idol. Shane is the guest, and of course the episode ends with Shane finding a red rope. And I'm like, are you kidding me? But
it was for me, that was so like aimless. Like, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of, you know, with Walking Dead, where it was just this random zombie just walking in the middle of nowhere. And then all of a sudden sees this red, bright red string on the beach. Like, how did no one see that?
I was going to say, that had obviously been there for a very long time at that point.
Yeah.
I feel like production probably just like pulled it out and was like, someone needs to find this.
Yeah. Now would be a good time.
No, look over there, Shane.
Hey, Shane, we need you for a confessional. Where? Right by that red rope. That's where we need you for a confessional. I think that's where a lot of Ben's confessionals were on Triple H. We need you for a confessional, Ben. Where? Right by that hidden immunity idol by your foot. can't miss it. We'll be right. You know what? We'll just get footage of this. We're good. We don't need the confessional. We're fine.
Speaking of idols by your foot, I really thought Marion was going to find that idol by that challenge that she was sitting on, where she was sitting on the bench.
Oh, yeah.
And she was looking underneath. She didn't find anything. And it kept on showing her, and it kept on showing. And then she was, at one stage, she was even off the bench on her knees looking under the bench. I was like, oh, she's going to find something. And no one's even looking at her.
Yeah.
And nothing was there.
Nothing was there.
But at least she was looking.
Yes. Arjun's asking a question that I'm not going to answer. So someone gets mad when that question, when that fact is stated. All right, episode 12. So Shane has diplomatic immunity, and as we learned, you have to be the first to play it. It's already been played. Sorry, Shane. You suck. sorry, fake Sean Connery. Marion already played it, but Shane's okay with that because he's hoping to use it as a fake idol. So here's the thing. I'm okay with him using it, but he keeps telling people, hey, I got this thing, and I'll show it to you later. I feel suspicious. Like you could still show the pouch. Like, he's just like, oh, I'll show you the pouch later. And I'm just like, well, guess what? I'll show you mine too later.
So
if you have a pouch to show the pouch.
That pouch, it was just a parchment, right? There was no actual like physical item in it. Is that right?
No, I think it was, right?
He put a stone in it.
That's why I wonder, because like if it was an actual item, then he wouldn't have had to put a stone in it.
Yeah, okay. It was just a parchment to say diplomatic immunity, but I think he put the stone in to make it look like it was an idol.
Yeah. So, but still, show the pouch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he did at some point. We just didn't see.
You can't make you can make a fake idol. You know, you can make a fake clue, but you can't make a fake pouch.
Mm-hmm.
So show the pouch. It's just like, look, I got it. This proves it. We're good. Well, what are we gonna do? But he's like, oh, I got it, but I'll show you later. And it's just like, all right, well, yeah, I'll show you mine later too. Like, go screw, dude. I got four of them. I'll show you later, though. You know what? I just found another. I have five. And I'll show you later. I can't show you any of them now. But trust me, I have five. I have six freaking idols. Are you kidding? This is weird. All right. So.
Oh, and he's never lied to Phil.
Yeah, see? So, yes, but Phil tells partial truth to the tribe and Dino over what happened at Outpost. So oh she God. May not have lied, but Phil
was stumbling over his words. It was like, I could just feel the lie. Like,
you could just tell. Yes. It's like Pokemon. Can you feel the lie?
But I wouldn't even be mad about that, because you know everybody who's coming back from Outpost is lying about what happens. And if I'm able to like know that and watch, I that can help me in the future to see like his tells, to see when he's lying.
Yeah,
he's not very good at it.
It's Pokemon. It's Phil. Is this the lie? And yes, this is the lie.
So, kind of like a Steffi said. Was it Steffi? Or Killarney said something like, she, when Tony was lying, she said there's certain things she does. She
over the top. Yeah.
So that's a good way.
As bad as Philip was, Tony was immensely worse.
I just thought to myself, at least Killarney knows something.
Yeah. So, oh, wow. Shane is getting the used car salesman edit. Yikes. So,
I like it.
Shane's confessionals are so hilarious. Very true. But Shane is literally trying to build bridges, and they're just not buying anything he's selling. Agreed. So it's here we learn Steffi loves being in control. This might be Steffi's fatal flaw, because I feel taking a back step has been working for Steffi. And it's one of those where absolute power absolutely corrupts. And I feel like she worked well in the full package alliance, because it was a distribution of power, and she saw within herself the ability to take a step back. So when she's there with the new Masu, she doesn't like Tony barking orders. And she didn't like Pinty barking. She doesn't like anybody barking orders unless it's her.
Yeah.
And I feel like her game is better without her barking.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I was thinking. The exact same. So basically, in her season, where she was in season 7, she was scary. She was not that type of person that you would kind of speak to. She was all for her alliance. She was just hard-headed. And she wanted to play the game she wanted to play. And that obviously it got her to merge. But then once she got to merge, then she was voted out because of the personality she had.
Yeah.
Going into this season, she's, you know, like looking after Marion and she's crying and she's showing emotion. She stepped back. That got her. If she had to come into the game playing the game she played in season 7, it would have had her knocked out probably very soon after Chappies. If they had to.
I was about to say, she's the next vote after Chappies probably.
Yeah, and she played down so well that it, like you said, Johnny, it helped her gain so much. And now that I'm hoping that when she's in merge, I hope she's not going to bring out that old Steffi where she's wanting to take charge.
Well, we got it the last two episodes, old Steffi, and I don't find it an endearing character.
I feel like the way that she's going about it, though, might work, though. Because unless she steps into that role of, like, telling people what to do, I thought the way that she was trying to work Killarney to kind of like persuade her, but she wasn't just like telling her, oh, this is how we need to vote, this is what we need to do. She's just like, look at what's happening, what do you think about it?
Well, no, Steffi is doing the gimmick with Killarney. This is how to play Killarney and players like Killarney. You go to Killarney and go, hey, who are you thinking? It's just like, you know, I'm thinking Meryl. That's good. Who else you thinking? Dante. I like that too. God, you're so smart. Who else you thinking? Until she says the name you want, and you're just like, ooh, do you really think so? All right, let's go with it.
I mean, that works. That works, yes. Though. But not everybody can do that, though. Yeah.
But she's literally, like, you know, she's just like, oh, please don't name people from other seasons of Survivor because this is really taking too long.
Some people like don't have the patience for those types of conversations, though, and then they get in trouble and get voted out.
Well, you have to. There's nothing but time, is what people don't understand. I understand that some people don't do, like, some people aren't smart enough to have that open conversation. It's just like, look, you know, the easy, like, vote, so and so, you're cool with that, right? And just like, oh, I was until you told me I was.
Yeah, like oh, Tony God. Came back and was like, the plan it's is Shane, and that's what we're doing.
Yes.
Where it's like, no, you know, yeah, ask them, what are their opinions? You know, eventually they'll say what you want. That's what I
go over a list of people, and then when they bring up the person you want out, kind of
I'm like,
revel.
Yeah,
in
it's like, yeah, that sounds like
God, you're brilliant. I wouldn't have even thought of that. This seems like a game changing move here that you alone came up with. So, and I, you know, probably at your final jury speech, you should mention that, but you're not going to be here because I'll get rid of you before then. Just, all right. So if it's Steffi versus Tony on the second half of the game, which it could easily be, you have Steffi with Marion, who I love, and my winner pick, but you have Tony, who I don't like, mainly because she doesn't like me, with Dino, who I love, who isn't my winner pick because I want him to win. What do I do?
Whatever side Dino is on.
So even though my winner picks start, even though my winner picks starts, I've got my secret winner still in this game. And I'm just hoping that Steffi, because I feel like Their numbers are getting sliced. You know, it was Shona, then it was Palesa. So I feel like Steffi needs to kind of choose a side, and I hope that she chooses the right side so that it keeps Dino in the game longer.
I think this episode is where Tony and Dino lose the game.
Really?
Because, and I think voting Palesa out was detrimental to them.
That would have helped them, but I don't feel that Don't worry, Johnny. Dino and Tony have no shot now that Pelissa is gone. that's what I just said. That's your point. I feel there's enough game left that I feel Steffi can sabotage her game really quickly in two episodes.
But I also feel like her game could be sliced very quickly if she trusts the wrong people. Or get screwed over by her alliance. I don't know. She needs to pick a side, because I think with her not picking and settling down is going to lead to her fake settling down and being her being sliced.
Yeah, I know. I think she's going to dig her own grave, and I think that opens the door for Tony and Dino to jump back in.
I hope so. I mean, it is boring if you get to merge and then it's just like lopsided. Yeah. So I do think hopefully we have some back and forth.
But I feel like I need Dante to make this happen too.
I think Dante has been digging his own grave, and it's going to be really hard for people not to just push him in.
Yeah.
An opportunity for Tony and Dino.
But I would like Dante to join up. Like, Dante made the merge. Secretly join up with Dino.
I was going to say that might actually be the only way Dante can stay in the game is to join
Dino. That helps everyone.
Yeah. Because everybody's going to
Well, everyone that we're rooting for.
Yeah.
Except for Marion.
Right.
This is so tough. Marion, but here's the thing. The episode last night, there was a viewing party with Marion, Dino, Thriso, and who was the guy that went out?
Shana and Shane were there too.
What's his name? He had the same tattoo as PK.
Oh, Tevin.
Tevin, he was there. Yep. So I like the fact that Dino and Marion were hanging out last night. I feel like that's a good sign.
I know where Tony was.
Oh, was Tony at
she
your
with
house?
You?
She was at me, yes.
Was she?
She was actually supposed to have been at that viewing party, but yeah. She actually came up to Joburg. So Tony stays in Cape Town. I stay in Joburg. Yeah. Tony's here in Joburg. And we were watching the episode last night. She was invited to, she would have been there. So,
but she came to your house?
Yeah.
Really?
She did. It was a lot of fun. She even gave me the Masu buff, and she didn't give it to me. I just wanted to wear it. I just wanted to see what it looked like on me. Yeah. And yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Does she hate me?
She has the exact same view on how you feel about her. She thinks that you hate her.
Oh, no.
But I think,
I feel she fired the first shot, but I guess I did by making fun of her shitty tattoos.
They're works of art, Johnny.
I know. I wasn't aware that they were works of art. So,
me being the middleman, I can both see you like each other, but you'll throw shade at each other, which is it's entertaining.
Yeah, yeah, she's growing. She's growing on me.
So, she's amazing.
She's making some really good moves and some really horrible moves.
Yeah.
So, which people could say that about me, but I just play. I'm trying to make good TV. I don't care what my moves are.
I think no matter what kind of survivor you are, you can't play a perfect game. There's no one that can play the best game from day one until the end, you know? So yeah. I think
one guy came close on All-Stars. I think it's about as close as you do get. But anyway, no spoilers because we're watching on the Patreon. All right. So let's see. Dante explains that he has the numbers. If the six people that aren't in his alliance vote with him and no one has an idol. So I feel like Dante has a really strong shot of running the table here and making it all the way to the end. Because he's like, if this person, this person, this person, this person votes with me, and I'm just like, I don't think any of them like him, and no one has an idol, I'm just like, okay, everyone has an idol. then everything should go as planned. And I'm just like, oh my God, is Dante going home? Because I'm kind of bored.
Yep. Everyone's got pouches at this moment.
Yeah.
I love Phil's confessionals. He's so good. Like,
Oh yeah, he's the best.
He's like, there's no way everyone has an idol at this.
Yeah, point. Well, we'll get to that. That one's coming up. So Killarney doesn't like to be told who to vote for, and unless it's every vote prior to this one,
which is odd considering her past season. But okay,
or every vote this season up until this
yeah.
otherwise, she hates it. We're told that Meryl's the most dangerous person out there. Maybe. And it's here where Phil says they're not handing out idols like sweets. Nico said this is going to be the hardest season. Not everyone has an idol. There's no way.
And fake idols. And I actually feel like Tejan is going to find Seamus's idol, because Tejan, whenever it's tribal council, he's looking around at voting. He's going like this. He's looking around. He's looking at the voting station. And Seamus hit it, if I'm not mistaken, quite close to where you vote. So,
we have seen him at the voting station looking around like crazy. So
then there's two fake idols.
Yes. I really hope Dino plays Seamus at some, or like uses it in a fun way.
Please.
Was his idol expired?
I think it's now expired, where they say it will lose its power by merge.
Dino's?
Yeah, yeah, because I saw that Dante's, well, it said it was expired, but it was never his to be able to use. But then Dino had the counterpart, right?
Dino had the counterpart.
I was wondering why he didn't play it if it was the last time it could be used, but if they kept going on about Dante's being expired, I was like, well, maybe his expired, and they just didn't say anything about it.
Dino's is expired is what we're seeing from the chat.
Yeah.
Okay. So now he can continue to like
fake
use that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good to, yeah, get up to the merch. Yeah, that's what I figured. Okay.
Like I said.
All right. Let's see. We learn here from Steffi. With Tony, you are just a number, according to Steffi, who I believe has the exact same philosophy as Tony. just saying, Steffi. Steffi's going to take over the person who hates me more than anyone else other than Tony. I think the pecking order is going to be Steffi hates me the most, Tony hates me second most, and then we're going to go from there. Tony, you're winning me over. Steffi's losing me. However, Steffi, you look pretty good on Instagram. Just throwing it out there. Oh, Marion's Instagram. Ooh la la. All right. Palisa is secretly the best, except for Meryl, maybe. And it's here where we come to the realization going into tribal night 19 that 5 out of 6 people on the Yontel tribe have pouches in their hands.
And Palisa was the only one without, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And yeah. So they talk and they're like, we could do this, we could do this, we could do this. Everybody wants to talk. And Nico goes, hey, tribal's live. Go at it. Go talk. And everybody's whispering each other's ears. And Phil goes to secretly chat with Nico.
You know, at this stage in the game, it like turned into this ASMR video. Everyone is.
I'm normally anti live tribals. This one needed to happen.
I don't know how I feel about this because I didn't like it, but at the same time, I don't know. I didn't like it because of the result.
Yeah, I didn't like the result.
Flipped.
Yeah,
but I guess isn't that the point, to try to cause chaos to disrupt the vote to go your way?
Yeah.
So the thing is that Tony was busy saying, because you could see in the edit, she was pointing to Palisa. And Dino was obviously looking at Tony. And from what Dino could see, I feel like so much miscommunication happened. I felt like if everything was just communicated a little bit better, once again, like Shona's vote out, I feel like Palisa could have still been in the game and then Meryl would have been the one leaving. But Tony said to Dino, play your idol for Palisa. And Dino thought it was vote for Palisa.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well. So, and I did love the Steffi. It's just like, let's vote. And Nico goes, I'll let you know when it's time to go vote. You don't get to say. And I'm just like, Nico, the ball's on this one.
I thought Tejan was right, though. Like, it didn't make any sense for them. And they're just like, they had the numbers and they were just giving it up. And like, it could potentially be the end of their games. So I don't understand why Tony jumped on board with that.
I felt like everyone was, the edits like basically showed everyone confused because everyone was walking around like, vote Meryl. No, don't vote Meryl, vote Palesa. Then they're throwing paranoia in to say those people are flipping their vote. You know, those are the ladies that are that side. They're going to flip their vote and they're going to vote elsewhere. So we need to vote this way. Yeah. So no one
knew a paranoia vote.
And with idols being, you know, you can play an idol on someone you don't know who. You don't know where the votes are going to go. I felt that maybe, I think what Tony's vision was that everyone was going to maybe then vote for Palesa. But then Dina would play the idol on Palesa, even though voting for Palesa.
Yeah, why wouldn't, if Dino is not going to play the idol for himself, unless he just wants a souvenir for eBay. I'm all for that.
Yeah, someone mentioned in the comments that like Dina won't even be able to fake the idol because Dante knows it's expired.
Yeah.
So
why didn't he play it for him?
I wonder, was it expired last night? But then Dante would have known that too.
I don't know why they said Dante's was expired. I think Dante's was expired because he didn't hand it off. Because it's expired because he could only hand it off to Masu, and Masu is not going to another tribal. That's why his was expired.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes. So Dino's was still alive, and I don't understand. Like, this is two times where he has shit the bed at tribal. Dino, come on. Dino is actually in South Africa right now at the postage place sending me a buff as we speak.
That's awesome. Wow.
That's amazing. Actually, he's sending it to Rick Devins, who was doling them out to us dumb Americans.
Really good buffs this season.
Yes. So did you saw the merge buff too?
I did not. So last night was the first night that I saw it. I like it. I really do.
Well, no,
like
she didn't bring it with her?
No, she just bought the Masu buffs.
Okay.
She told me when she was here, she was like, she might as well have brought the merge buff and she would have whipped it out and then just put it on while we're busy watching. But
yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I left Pearl Islands with my merge buff. And you're not allowed to, and because you have to turn it in. And they're just like, "Where's your buff?" I'm like, "I threw it in the fire." They're like, "Well, you didn't see it." I'm like, "I did." And they're like, "We need it. You have to turn it in." I'm like, "I ain't got it." And they're like, "Well, we'll check your clothes." I'm just like, "You can check my clothes, but you're not gonna find it."
Where'd you hide it?
Yeah. And so they're like, "All right." They're like, "Don't let us see it anywhere." I'm like, "You're not gonna see it anywhere." So. When the season was airing, the merge episode, I had it in my pocket and like right before it. So I put it on, well, you know, at the viewing party. And it was like, holy shit, it's black. And I'm like, it is black.
Wow.
So I think that's one of the best. That and I think these are my two favorite buffs ever. The Balboa merge buff and the lava Australian Survivor buff.
I like that one.
I like black, and I think the purple accents that one nice. So. But
what is it, war one? Because that's black as well.
What's that?
The one is that war?
It's gray. I thought it was black too. It's gray. Yep. So it is not as cool as you would think it would be. So now, because everyone was just like, the merge buff for Winners at War is black, and I was just like, yes. And then like. I'm sponsored by Buff. Hey, everybody, go to buff.com or buffusa.com. Don't go to buff.com. Go to buffusa.com. Order yourself a buff right now. But so they sponsored the podcast. And so I got the merge buff early. And I'm just like, this ain't black. This is gray. This sucks. So, yeah. There's nothing cool about gray.
Looks dark on TV, I guess.
Yep. So it looked like sun-faded black. So it looked like what my merge buff looked like at the end of Pearl Islands, which I don't own anymore. So the guy that owns my torch also owns my buff.
So he spent
15,000 for my buff. I mean, it's 15,000 for my torch, and I think over 3,000 for my buff.
Wow.
So, but amazing. But I'm in his will to get back both of them. Okay. Let's see. Ninth person voted out of Return of the Outcast is Pelissa.
Not happy.
She was fun. She was a player. So, but she was okay with it. So I do like that. And Nico says, let's call it a night, or let's just call it a merge. And you're going to go back to the Yontel tribe with some upgrades. We shall see. And I love it. I love this season. I love this version of Survivor. I've never thank you for introducing me to it. I am so I posted on my social media, I have to wait four more days to watch for four more days. yes, this is really this is very palatable, and I'm loving the edit. I'm loving the players. I'm loving the strategy. I'm loving the twist. I'm loving everything about it. So I'm loving the length of the episodes. So far everything's good. But we do have one, they could have shown why Phil screwed up that vote. But otherwise, I think we've done pretty good.
Could have, would have, should have.
Yep.
I'm sure that may be for us in future.
Yeah. So are we happy with the first half of the season?
I'm loving it.
What I'm really loving, to just end everything off right now, is the whole pre-merge idea. I'm living for Yontel from beginning to end because they've not made merge. Mm-hmm. So the edit showed all the Yontel members who never made merge before, how happy they were, how happy Dino was. And I think the bit of the edit was, so this is how it feels.
Yeah.
And it gave because I love Survivor myself. I hope to play the game one day. If you make merge, that is just the one thing that you could think it's the feeling of how it is to make merge.
Yeah.
And Dino makes it feel like how it is on TV. So this is how it feels.
It's the biggest thing you can do other than win the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So because winning an individual immunity, although is potentially great, is potentially a bad move. You win a couple mm-hmm. immunities, they're like, okay, well, you got to go. It's just like, oh, why did I win an immunity?
Yeah.
So, or winning a reward, even though I have the record for most rewards enjoyed by a single player in a single season ever in the history of Survivor. Maybe you're not supposed to do, Ethan's like, never win a reward, never accept a reward. And it's like, oh, I love rewards. They're my favorite. It was a big deal to make the merge. As I said, I think if you're not going to win, that's the best thing you can do. And I think they captured that feeling.
They did. They really did. I had goosebumps while I was watching the episode. The end, I had that lump in my throat. I had goosebumps. And I was just I felt like I had made merge with them.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? I like to do this because I'm not supposed to do this. So here we go. So I was chatting with Dino earlier. So I sent to him,
congrats on that yellow buff, playa.
And I immediately got a reply.
Oh, yeah?
Yo, Johnny. Good to hear from you, dude. Thanks so much, man. Yeah, hard earned. Hard earned, hard fought. I'm
There we go. Hard earned, hard fought. So, how cool is that?
It's amazing. I like it. I like how you guys are speaking to each other. It's so cool. To hear his voice and you busy playing a voice note, it sounds so cool.
Yes. So, and tell Tony I don't hate her. So she might be watching the podcast. She might not. We'll find out. So with that, thank you so much, Tristan. This is great. I can't wait till next Friday. I'm still here. Next Friday, I'll be here. I got the trip to Nashville out of the way. Still made it for a little bit of the podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm back for the full podcast again next week.
Yes, thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. So everybody, click the subscribe button, click the like button, give a review. Here's the deal, people. On Apple Podcast, rate it 5 stars and just put great podcast. That's it. You don't have to write a whole fuck. If you want to write a whole review, please do it. But if you just want to write great podcast, that's all you need to do. It literally takes 10 seconds. That shoots us up the charts. It makes a big difference in the analytics and the algorithm and everything else. So please take 10 seconds to go to Apple Podcast and rate 5 stars and literally write great podcast. I don't even know how many letters that is, but it is 10 seconds out of your day and it means a lot. Go to youtube.com/realitynsfw. Click the subscribe button there. Click like and all that stuff. And the best way to support the podcast, as always, is to go to adfreensfw.com. That's adfreensfw.com. You get the links to the episodes. You get the our coverage of Australian Survivor. Right now we're doing All Stars, so you get the links to that and the after show there. It's also a hub for all these episodes. They're there as well, the video and audio version of what you're watching right now. And the weekly Q&A, which is my favorite podcast of the week. Holy moly, you want to hear some stuff that you never thought you'd hear? Become a patron. Try it for a month. If you don't like it, I will send your money back. I promise. But become a patron at adfreensfw.com. So on behalf of Karen and Tristan, I'm Johnny. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
And for more reality NSFW content, visit adfreensfw.com.